Swim check 1, 2. Bike check 1, 2. Run check 1, 2. I think we're ready. Let's try this. Welcome to the Try Beginner's Luck Podcast, a podcast where we explore the sport of triathlon from a variety of perspectives to help beginner triathletes on their journey. I am your host, Mashonda Shines. We're back. It's a new edition, Try Beginner's Luck. I don't have my glasses on, so you already know what type of day it could be. I can't really read things, but we're going to make it work. No, I'm just kidding. I have on contacts, so I am excited. I just feel differently when I don't have my accessory on. If you know anything about accessories, you know that your accessories, especially your favorite ones, become like a clutch. It's something that you need to have in order to feel like you're going to have a good day. Well, I'm going to have a good day because I have some amazing guests with me today. They are in their third year of a program. It's a team. They have been in existence for 3 years. And they are making some noise and making some waves. And you have seen them in publications. You've seen them on other podcasts. And they are doing the darn thing. Yes, they are. They are an HBCU representing the triathlon space. They are Delaware State University, and I get the pleasure of talking to Coach Hannah Paoli-Loftus. I get to talk to the captain of the team, who's a junior, Ashley Stanley, and I get to talk to a rising sophomore who's been in the game for a long time, and that's Ava Larking. Welcome, DSU, to the Try Beginner's Luck Podcast. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yes, thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. We're really excited to speak with you today.
Well, I'm gonna need more energy than that excitement. It's like, yeah, I'm really excited. No, come on. Y'all are college students, but they're like, we just raced. We're tired.
That is about all of the energy I expected today.
You know, we're humble.
You got that humble brag. Mm-hmm.
She was the queen of that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of this humble brag. You guys just left the Claremont. What is the name of that race? The Claremont.
Draft Legal.
Draft Legal. That's it. Claremont Draft Legal Triathlon.
That's right.
Tell me about it. Let's talk about it. Because this is like first triathlon of the season, mm-hmm. getting your bells wet. You've been practicing in the weight room. Your first race of the season. How was it for you all?
I think the race went pretty well, especially considering it was our first race of the season. So this one is different than our typical triathlons because it's a super sprint. So it's half the distance than we usually train, but we do back-to-back days. So we raced Saturday and Sunday. And overall, our team performed way better the second day, which is just really amazing to have gone out one day, raced, and then gotten back out there and raced even better the second day.
Okay, team captain. Yes. We did even better the second day. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about day one, because a lot of times people don't realize how hard it is to perform at a high level 2 days in a row. Because most times it's one and done. You got one opportunity and you're done. But this was a little bit different. So tell us about day one, and then we'll talk about day two, and then just kind of get some backstory about the program.
Well, so
you go, Ava.
For day one, I think it's more nerve-wracking than day two because we haven't raced all season. So we're going into it with high nerves and just seeing if we can perform and all of our training is being put to work. So I think, yes, day one is a little bit harder than day two performing a level. And then day two is kind of like, all right, we already did day one. We're good. We got it. Let's go out. And as Danielle and I, another one of the girls on the team, we like to say balls to the wall. So balls to the wallet on day two.
I'm very familiar with balls to the wall. We used to say that in school. So it feels good that I'm one of the youth, that I still can resonate with the lingo. So yes, balls to the wall.
So day one, what type of racing was day one? Was day one, did you do the same thing both days? Or was
Yes.
day one a sh the super sprint and then day two was like a relay? Like, what did you guys do?
So it's different for each team what they decide to sign up for, but for us, we decide to do the NCAA Super Sprint both days. So it's the same distance, it's just half of our regular triathlon. So for people that aren't familiar with the Super Sprint, it's around a half a mile or a quarter mile swim, and then a 6.2 mile bike, and then a 1.5 mile run. And for our freshmen on the team, like, and for even us, like, going out first day is mainly just like you want to do what you can. You know, there's going to be mistakes made because it's our first race back, first one of the season. And you just want to get a time. And then the second day is when you want to beat that time. So now you have like something that you're working towards. It's a goal. You know what you did the prior day. And now you want to really like kick it into gear and try to like perform better than that first day.
And I think
Yeah.
the first day we have a little bit, I mean, that travel day is so long to get to the destination. And that first day, maybe you still have a little bit of heaviness in your legs. I feel like that's the shakeout race. And then, and that's how it's structured. Day two is the finals. You know, that's when you better bring your A game.
Now, did you all have to drive down there or did you fly?
Oh no. Oh
Thank
no, we flew.
you. It's just that we fly out of Philadelphia, so we drive to the airport, and then you have the flight down, and then you fly into Orlando, which is about 40 minutes from where the race was. So it just kind of adds up. That travel day gets long pretty quickly.
Okay, because I can only imagine if you had to drive, I can, yeah,
Ooh.
I can't even imagine that drive, but I just wanted to ask to make sure we can kind of paint the picture. But yes, flying, you needed to get some type of momentum, per se. So, how many traveled with you? How many is on the team now? Because I'm sure that you've experienced some growth in the 3 years. So, how many girls do you have on the team this year?
So this year we have six girls on the team, but we have already signed four new athletes to come in the fall, so we'll be at 10. So this is our growth year.
Come on. And
Yeah.
you've already signed them?
Yeah, committed, signed the NLI. They're on their way. Pack their bags for Delaware.
So what does that look like from a coaching perspective, Coach Hannah? Like, how are you recruiting these women to come to DSU without it being a fully funded program per se yet?
Yeah, so this year I kind of had two tactics. So out of our four who are incoming, we have two athletes who are not from a traditional triathlon background. They're swimmer runners who I reached out to and said, "Hey, would you be interested in talking to to me about triathlon?" And they said yes, and we had a great conversation. And this was last spring. So then I said, "Hey, if you really think you're interested, go do some triathlons this summer. Like, see if you love it. Maybe you hate it and this is not the sport for you." But fortunately, both of those athletes signed up for some local sprint races. They were hooked. They're like, "We're in. We want to come visit Dell State." Signed in the fall. And then the other two athletes are triathlon background. So one's international. She's from Germany. She grew up competing in triathlon on a pretty high level team. The other girl is from Team Z3, which is one of the youth and junior teams that the US has. So she also grew up in triathlon and was always intending to do triathlon in college. So kind of a mixed experience in how you find and recruit those athletes.
Do the current team members play a role in that recruitment process?
Oh, for sure.
And
It did
what does
not
that
take
look
me
like?
very long as a head coach to realize there has to be continuity on the team, that the like personalities and the dynamics, that has to work. The talent doesn't matter if there's going to be constant conflict. Honestly, the most important thing is that they're good people, that they're a good fit, that they have the integrity and work ethic. You know, I always say I can grow skills and develop talents, but I can't create character. So if they come in with that or they're going to fit in with the girls who are already here, that's super important.
And so, Ashley and Ava, I want to ask you, What do you look for in teammates when you're recruiting and you have a say in the recruiting process?
So like when we have our recruit visits, we do a lot with them, and whether that's like team dinner or they'll come to one of our practices and see how we do things. And so I think that's like really important, adding on to like what Coach Hannah said, because we can get a feel for their personality. Because obviously, if you're a junior or a senior in high school and you're just coming to meet the coach, you're going to be a little more shy and reserved. But I think once they get with like the team and they're getting with us and we're like similar ages and we're all like hanging out together, you can really start to see their like personality start to evolve. And we can like quickly see like who's going to fit with our team. And like usually we've always had really great experiences and we're all having fun and we just end up talking all the time at like team dinners for a really long time. And I think that like helps also those athletes that are coming to visit see if like this is a team they want to be a part of, if they're like meshing with our personality and our character, and if they like, the type of like character on our team.
I agree with Ashley. Once they have that one-on-one away from their parents and away from Coach Hannah, it helps them open up more. They become more chatty and they like to ask us more personal questions about our experience at school, kind of away from triathlon and more student life and school life.
Now, I love watching good old sports movies. And those sports movies often include football and they have recruits that come in. Now, if I'm painting the picture that I see in the movies, do you guys take the recruits to parties and, make sure they understand that? Coach Hannah, yes, close your ears. Like, do you guys give them a taste of what Delaware State has to offer?
Usually we just do like a tour on campus, and then they'll come back to either my house or to Coach Hannah's house, and we'll just all do like probably a pizza dinner or a pasta dinner, depending on what we have the next day. And we'll tell them about campus life, but we don't bring them to parties, no.
Yeah, the itinerary Coach Hannah has planned is very packed. By the end of the night, they're done.
Yeah, it's
Tired.
like
Straight to
I'm
bed.
time.
I had to ask
Yeah.
because I wouldn't do myself due diligence if I didn't ask. I just always want to know. So you just finished Claremont. The first day was a little interesting. You woke up, and then the second day, you guys went balls to the wall. What is it like racing? Because during the off season or summer season, you don't get to race draft legal as often. So, what was it like to be in a pack racing this weekend? And what was that experience like? And how do you, just what was that experience like for you?
So this weekend, racing in a pack specifically for me, because I have my packs are huge. I feel as if I have at least 30 girls in my pack. And with the laps being so short, I feel like it gets bunched up. And I was ran into a cone around the U-turn. So I feel like I get pretty angry in packs. And you have to weave your way around. Some girls are not as strong on the bike, so they swerve out to the side. So it's really you have to have a quick reaction, or you're taking half of 15 girls down with you. But I feel like it's definitely a learning curve. If you don't pay attention to what you're doing, you're not confident in your own skills, then it could get a little messy.
I can only imagine. I admire you guys riding in the pack. Like, I love that with, I'll say, the big people triathlon. You got to have, like, some space in between. For that point, people don't be knowing how to drive their bikes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you have to yell at them. I yell. I'm like, yeah, hold your line, stay there. We'll be like four across. It's not working. It's not working.
Not at all. Hold your line. I love it. What were you going to say something to Ashley?
Well, I was just gonna say, like, for me, Claremont is just like a really great way to like put all of the training into like one race and see where you're at. Because you can train and train and train, but having like something that you're training for really helps like keep that momentum going and that energy going. So for me, I really enjoy Claremont because when we end the season in November, we have some lighter training before we get back in January. And then having something like a goal to work towards, like we know March, that first weekend in March is going to be like our two super sprint races. So like working towards that is really helpful and like motivating, especially. in the spring and off season.
So, speaking of, what is technically your off season? Because if you start in March and you end in November, you technically only have like a month of downtime, at least from my calculation. So, what does that look like for you all?
For us, we really take like December as like our off season. So that's when we're all home with our families for the holidays. We still do some training, but it's not going to be as rigorous and intense as it is when we're in season. So when we're at school is basically when we're in season. So December is our true, like, I would say off period, but Coachana, you can add to that if you feel different.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, from an NCAA standpoint, fall is our primary season. We're a championship, fall championship sport. So, like, from the day they show up on campus in August until nationals in November, that's 20 hours a week of training every week, really no break in that season. And then after nationals, which is the second Saturday in November, then we go down to only 8 hours a week of training. And then over winter break, obviously, they have about 5 weeks off then. We come back in January, we go right back into that 20 hours a week through like the middle of March. So we're getting ready to go out of season and go back down in hours. And then in the summertime, they're kind of on their own. So that's an interesting dynamic. Like if you don't want to do anything in the summer and you show up in August and you've lost all that fitness you worked for, you show up and you have to jump right into 20 hours a week of training. Like that's a it's a tough balance for these guys.
Yeah. So technically you're full, you're year round, even though you're not year round because you have to
Right.
maintain fitness in seasons. And I know during the summertime, several of you race local races to kind of keep your fitness up. How is that racing on your own when you don't have a coach per se watching over your shoulder to make sure you do the right thing during the summertime?
It's pretty hard this past summer. I basically did not do much at all. Coach is talking about me. I didn't do much this summer. So when I came into the fall, I was behind. So I had to play catch up and then did not really have the best season. I don't know. I was kind of burnt out a little bit over the summer. So I need to take, and I was working two jobs. I was too worried about the money. So yeah, it was something. And then I did have one race and it didn't go too well, but this summer I'm gonna be on it. But yeah, when I don't have a coach telling me what to do, definitely slack off a little bit.
And I think also to add to that, not having like a team to train with also is like a huge factor into that. Because when we're like in season, we're with our coach and with our teammates, it makes the training a lot more fun. When you get to that summertime and it's like you have no structure really, and you've got nothing, no practice you have to go to on time, that definitely like for a lot of us, it makes it a little bit harder to get up and to go and train. So I think being with the team helps a lot.
And that's just not for y'all. It's for us too. Like when you're a part of a team, teamwork truly makes this dream work, even though it's an individual sport, but it just helps keep you accountable. And to your point, Ava, I love you. It's like, she's talking about me. And so what had happened was I was focused on my coin, which is fine. We make decisions. And you would know now, if you do it all over again, you'll have different priorities and still try to figure out how to work. And I think that's the part of learning and growing in sport, and you're learning from a young age, you know, when you make certain decisions, it's the consequences are either you learn or you don't. And either you learn and you do better, or you don't and you don't do better. So those are the two things. I don't see it as a like a pass fail. You just had a learning curve and a learning opportunity, and now you know. So I love that you're learning it early because being a sophomore, it's like you can apply that not only to your schooling, but also in the real world when it really matters. Like school, you got some wiggle room and some flexibility. But that moment you graduate and get your first job or your pro job, whatever it is your desires are, the game changes and priorities change. So I'm glad you're learning this now. So I mentioned earlier, I wanted to talk about, you know, DSU as a program and how it's developed. But I also want to talk about your personal stories. And so I think if we could funnel the DSU story into the personal stories, and I'm going to start with you, Coach Hannah, because you are a triathlete. You do this, you're still racing. So you get to not only coach them, but you're actually living it. So you can apply some of your trials and errors and, share with them what to do. So can you just talk us and walk us through how did you get involved in sport?
Yeah, so well, first of all, in high school, I played some very bad basketball. I was not a talented basketball player, but I realized that I was competitive. I liked playing a sport. And so I started running kind of competitively after college. Actually, I was a big nerd in college. And then afterwards, I started running, did some half marathons, thought, hey, I think I might be kind of good at this. And then my husband was active duty Air Force at that time, and he got 10 days notice on a 3-month deployment to Turkey. And I was a little devastated. I'm a planner. I'm your typical type A triathlete. I have everything planned out from now through November, right? And then all of a sudden you get 10 days notice on a deployment, and a mutual friend of ours was like, oh, you should just do a triathlon. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do a triathlon. Did not know how to swim. I survived it. It was an ocean swim. I think my 750 time was like 20 minutes. And I backstroked it the whole time. And then I got on the bike, loved it, ran a great 5K, and was like, this is it for me. I'm doing this sport. So definitely took some swim lessons, got a coach. And just, I haven't lost my passion for it yet. It has become a whole new challenge to still be passionate about racing myself, while I'm working full time and a half and coaching a team. But like I mentioned earlier, their season kind of winds down at the end of March. And then I race in the summer when they're not in season. And then the day they show up on campus in August, they're the number one priority again.
Now, you left a little something out about your swim story.
Oh no, I don't remember what I put in the questionnaire now. Oh, is it that my husband thought I was going to die? Because that's part of that story as well. My husband was deployed, and when I told him I was going to do a triathlon, he cried and thought he was never going to see me again because I didn't know how to swim.
No, it was your experience in the water.
I did get checked on by three lifeguards.
Yeah.
That's a factor there as well. Three separate lifeguards in 750 meters came over to me and were like, do you want us to remove you from this ocean? And I was like, absolutely not. I'm finishing what I started here. I'm just drowning for a minute.
And I think that's to me the encouraging part is that you weren't a strong swimmer. You didn't start at a pool, you went straight to the ocean. Listen, ocean
That's
swimming
being
is
funny
completely
and not
different.
knowing anything. That's just pure ignorance. Looking back, I'm like, someone should have said, hey, you know they have pool triathlons. I was like, nah, just go straight to the ocean.
But you did it. You
Yep.
survived, and it was the feeling probably that was the feeling that wanted you to keep coming back and doing more. And so, just for those of you who are listening, you may not have the optimal swim or the best swim, but don't discount the sport. You can learn and you can grow and you can improve along the way. So, how did you come into DSU, coaching for DSU?
So when I moved to Delaware, DSU had just announced that they were starting a triathlon team. They had hired a head coach at the time. I met him on a group ride maybe 4 weeks before the season was about to start for DSU. So we rode together, and at the end of the ride, I gave him my number and said, if you need anything, I want to be a part of this. This is an incredible opportunity for the sport of triathlon. At an HBCU, I want to be a part of this. What can I do? Let me know. Think about it and give me a call. And he called me the next day and was like, I need an assistant coach, and it's you if you want it. So I came on in that capacity, day one of the triathlon team. Ashley's freshman year. Ashley's going to be the first graduating class of DSU triathlon. So I served in that capacity for a year, and then the head coach stepped down, and I asked him to submit my name and resume to take his place. Met with the athletic director the same day that he resigned and started 2 weeks later. Very serendipitous, I think.
Absolutely. And I love how he was like, hey, coach, put me in. put my name in to take your
You
place.
gotta admit this. I got it.
I love it. The confidence is for me. DSU, you guys walk with a certain type of swag that appreciate. Like it's like a swag. Like we here, we're gonna let you know, and we're gonna make some noise, and we're gonna sting you, hence the Hornets, where it matters the most. So I appreciate the confidence and the swag, and yeah, that warms my heart. It really does. So we're gonna put a pin in the DSU story from that perspective, but actually, tell us how you got involved in sport and how did you come to DSU?
So I've been running ever since I was a little kid. My dad would run and I would always ask to run with him. And I did Girls on the Run in elementary school. So I was always a runner. When I was a kid, I did a couple triathlons, but I decided to stick more towards the running. And then my dad ended up getting us all cycling bikes so we could road bike with him. So I stuck to that. Never was a lap swimmer, never was a pool swimmer. I would still say that is my weakest leg of the triathlon. But I grew up in Florida, so I was always swimming in the ocean, always doing open water swimming. So in high school, when I was just a runner and I was just doing cross country and track, I ended up fracturing my fibula and I was on a boot and crutches for almost 2 months. And then when I was coming back from that injury, I started swimming and I picked it up and I had never swam in my life. So I had to go like buy a swim cap, buy some goggles, all that stuff to do to actually be able to lap swim. And so then from there, I really got into it because we got a new girls cross country coach and he did triathlons and he was like, hey, I think you should do this with me. Like, just the 7 days a week running is really not great for you. I kept getting injured after that. It was really hard on my body. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it a try. And then ever since then, I loved it. And it was like way better for my body being able to like do swimming and biking and not running every single day a week. So yeah, and then I got recruited by a previous coach at King University. It's in Bristol, Tennessee. And I was previously committed there, but then I saw a better opportunity financially for me here at Delaware State. And so I transferred before I even went my freshman year to King University. And I definitely think Delaware was where I was supposed to be. And I'm glad I made that switch. So yeah, that's kind of my background into triathlon. I would definitely say like heavily, like just injury based. So that was like the main switch for me. And I like have loved it ever since.
I love the business savviness. Like, I saw a better opportunity for me financially at Delaware State. So I'm just going to go over there where they offer me a little bit more money.
Well, the other school was a private Christian school, so it was expensive. This is a public school, so the difference was kind of crazy. So
I can only imagine. I mean, college now is very expensive. And so to be able to make
yeah.
that very true decision at such a young age just lets me know the maturity level, right? Because I wasn't that mature. I chose to go out of state for college because I wanted to go to FAMU and left money on the table in Georgia. Now, am I glad that I went out of state? Heck yes, and I would not ever.
You would never change it,
I
never
wouldn't change it. However, when I look at them student loans, I'm like, I
go
don't know. But it's all good. It's the experience and it's the intent. But
back.
I admire. I'm just saying, like, for me, I admire your maturity because I was not that mature. So kudos to you.
That.
Yeah, kudos to you. And the fact that your coach saw, hey, look, I do triathlons. I think this will be better on your body. Like, to me, that is mind blowing. And so, just so thoughtful to say, hey, you're a great athlete, but let's switch it up so that you can preserve your body. And doing all three sports, for those of us who are in the sport, it makes a difference in being able to spread out the pain throughout the week versus every single day chopping at the same bit. So, kudos to you, Ashley. And I know you're still a strong runner because you're on the cross country team and track team right now for DSU as well, right?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
So you're working out year round for real, for real.
Yep, most of us are on the cross country and track and field team. So all of us do races for them as well as triathlon. So we're all year-round strong athletes.
I love that. Year-round strong athletes. All right, Ava Larkin, tell us your story. 'Cause listen, you're like on the magazine covers and doing all the PR for the team. So I know you look at her shaking her shoulder, the little humble brag. Come on, humble brag.
So I started as a swimmer and like summer swim team, swim kids, swimming like that. And I ran with my dad because he was really into 5Ks at the time. And we have a local triathlon 5 minutes down the road. He's like, "Hey, do you want to do a triathlon?" I was like, "Okay." I didn't really bike. I had a Barbie pink bike with the shiny tassels on the side. Like, it was rusty. I was like, "Okay, let's do it." I won it, and the coach who was putting on the triathlon was like, "We want you to be on our team, triathlon." I've never heard about triathlon before doing it, and I liked it. I liked doing three different sports. I thought it was different. You know, swimming can get boring, running can get boring. Put it all three together, it's definitely a lot better. So, yeah, then I started doing triathlons for them, and it's been 11 years now. We'll be 12 this summer. Clearly, I like it enough to keep going.
So you're about to be 12 years in the game.
Yes.
You older than me in this sport. You older than me. I am a G, a little G compared to you. Oh my goodness.
Can't
She's
say.
like, I mean. And by the way, shout out to your dad, Mr. Ronald, because listen, he is the team dad. Okay, y'all.
He is the team
He's like a
dad.
tiger dad.
He's a,
He
listen, Tiger
wants to be
dad.
everywhere.
Ooh, listen, he's like, excuse me, have you heard of DSU? Yes, sir, I have. DSU needs to be on your, yes, sir.
Oh my goodness.
I
Always
love
out
you,
there
Mr.
advocating
Ronald.
for us.
He's
Yeah.
gonna mow when I tell him that.
You're
Oh, he's gonna hear it.
"Oh my God, I got a shout
He
out." That's
did. Mr. Ronald Larkin, we appreciate you. And I think more dads, I want more dads to do what he does. I think, you know, he's proud of you. You know, that's he's like that. This is my daughter. I need you to know, like, she's out here in these streets. So it's very admirable and it's honoring, and I love to see it. So, did you tell me about your role to DSU? Because you've been in the game 12 years, but how did you say, "Hey, I want to go and do this at DSU?" Because you had options, perhaps. Because there was some, tell us about that.
I always knew I wanted to do triathlons in college, mainly because I've been doing it for so long. I was like, "Oh, let's see if I can get some money out of it, go to college for it." I knew I didn't want to stop, and I knew that I wanted to be an athlete in college because of the perks, of course. So I knew I wanted to keep going. And so I reached out. DSU was in their first year, and I was looking at Hampton, but they weren't as established as DSU. So I was looking around East Coast schools. I looked at one in Colorado. I really liked the coach Eric. I also liked the HBCU aspect at DSU. That's what also brought me to the school, the diversity. And I know that in HBCU, it offers a lot of opportunities. Right now, just for my major, I've never seen the opportunities that were granted at other PWIs. So that also was one of the reasons that brought me to DSU.
No, that's good. That's good. You don't have to make up stuff and keep going. You fine.
I was
Like,
like, I
that's
don't know. I
it.
was to add.
That no. There is a distinguishing factor between a HBCU and a PWI. And I know there's a lot of talk about the continuation of these things because diversity is a thing, but then people don't really want it to be a thing. And that's a thing in all of itself. You get what I'm saying? Okay. And so the fact that you are getting these opportunities that you wouldn't get if you were at a PWI, it's probably great in the sense that you're learning skills that you wouldn't be able to if you were at a PWI. You wouldn't get the same exposure and experience that you will get. And so I think there's advantages to it all, but I'm glad that you made those decisions for yourself. With that said, DSU. Coach Hannah, you come in the second year as the coach. You have been there since the beginning, and so now you get to make it your own. What is the Coach Hannah Paoli Loftus effect at DSU?
Oh, I love that question. What is the effect? I mean, I really think the biggest thing that I have worked on outside of, you know, your basic triathlon training is the team culture. Like, I think the way this team that we have right now supports each other, cares about each other, wants to see each other succeed in sport, in school, in life. Like, we are each other's cheerleaders. And I think that is something that's really special here.
I love that culture. A lot of times people dismiss culture as if it's not important, especially in the workplace. And so the fact that she's shaking her head like, yeah, we get it. But culture is such a big part of why we do what we do. And I think that plus the overall triathlon culture is such a huge draw as to what is drawing people to the sport. How is it with funding? Because you're at this sweet spot of it not being a fully recognized NCAA sport yet, but yet still having a lot of expenses with travel, with uniforms, equipment. How are you guys offsetting that? And what do you want to see come of this? And what is the timeline for NCAA?
Okay, so that was like four questions.
Awesome. I know.
The timeline for NCAA is that we are coming to the end of the 10-year emerging sport period this fall. So the goal is at the end of this championship season, so in November of this year, to start our 2-year NCAA evaluation period. And then hopefully during that 2-year evaluation period, we have 40 teams who are all meeting the sport sponsorship requirements. And then we would become a full-fledged championship status NCAA sport, which would bring NCAA money into the sport and be huge for all of the teams in triathlon. But until that time, we do a lot of fundraising. Our team hosts a community duathlon in April, the Dover Duathlon. That's our primary fundraising event. And then we do a lot of like one-on-one word of mouth fundraising. We meet people at races. We've met people at local 5Ks who want to know about DSU triathlon. Family members support our team. Eva's mom works for a company that single-handedly funded our trip to Claremont this year. We could not have gone without their financial support. So right now we do a lot of fundraising and networking just to operate as a team.
And for those of you who are interested in doing the Dover Duathlon this year, it's April 20th, is that correct?
Yes, it is April 20th at Schutte Park in Dover. You can find it on like try sign up, run sign up. You can Google it.
Awesome. Tell us about the run course, the bike course. It's a duathlon, so it's a run, bike, run. So tell us about that to entice people to want to support it, because this is prime opportunity. You guys are airing in the second week of March, so there's people that can still train for the race. So tell us about it.
That's right. Ava, as the reigning champion, do you want to do a little course recon?
Okay.
For anyone who's listening?
Okay, so we, in the park, we run down the main road, so 1.5 miles total, and then we get on the bike, and we bike through Dover 12 miles. It's pretty flat. It's got some rolling hills, but it's nothing too crazy. I think once you make the right on hill, what is it called, Quintana?
On Westville?
Yes, that's when it starts getting fast and you can pick up the pace and get back to transition. And then we do the same exact run, 1.5 miles down and back, super flat, super fast. It's competitive. Definitely have my workout. Don't think I'm going to get first this year, but I'm going to try my best.
We believe in her.
We love it. So for if you want, again, support them. It's a race coming up. And even if you can't race and you're hearing this, but want to do something and get involved, go ahead and send some money their way. I think there could be a way on the website where you can kind of just give if you want to give a general donation. So please be sure to do that so that you can support their efforts and kind of help while we're waiting for that coveted NCAA official invitation and money and all that kind of good stuff. Because then you still got to wait. Like this is a long process. Thank God we are endurance sports
That's right.
athletes. Because listen, it's a long time to go through the different processes, but it will definitely be worth it. So yeah. Anything you want to add to that, Coach Hannah?
Oh, I will add about the duathlon. This year, we're offering a relay option. So we're excited to have that for people who we have some who maybe don't bike. My neighbor's going to run and make her son do the bike ride. So it's a fun way to get families involved. But yeah, definitely working towards that NCAA championship status. That's, I hope all 40 teams in triathlon are taking that really seriously and doing what we need to do because that will be huge for us to get that.
Let's go. We are rooting for you. All right. Each of you have had your first triathlon story. I think we've heard from Coach Hannah about hers. But Ashley, do you want to tell us about your first story? Your
Like
first race?
my first race I ever did.
Ever, ever, ever? Yes.
So, I mean, I did one when I was a little kid, like in elementary school. And that one was just a local one. I think it was in Jacksonville. And that was my first like toe into the water with triathlon. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like a huge passion for me when I was a little kid. I liked just running and biking more. But my first real triathlon, I would say, because those were when I was younger. My first one when I like came back from my fracture in high school, it was a local one where I'm from in Florida in St. Augustine. And I remember like racing it was just like such an adrenaline rush. We did swim in a really gross area of water, so people don't love when the open water swims are like in still water and things like that. But it was really fun. I enjoyed it, and I think like doing that, it showed me like the opportunity that comes with triathlon and like all the different things that you, because like if some people don't like just like the swim, bike, run, they can do an aquathon, which is like just swimming and biking, or an aqua bike, and a duathlon, which is run, bike, run. So I think, I don't know, I really enjoyed it, and it really like kind of solidified my like desire to like go more towards the triathlon aspect of things and not just running every single day. So then it just gave me something to work towards, and I continued to like build on my swim and my bike along with running still in high school for a track and cross country. But after that first race, I like really decided that I wanted to keep doing this, and I kept signing up for local ones because I'm from Florida, so like there was local ones like year round because it doesn't really get cold there. So I was able to just keep signing up for local triathlons and just keep working towards like getting better in that aspect of things.
All right. The city, so the city of youth is not, or is it the Fountain of Youth for St. Augustine?
Yes, the Fountain of
The
Youth.
Fountain of Youth. So the water there is not the Fountain of Youth, clearly.
No, this was in the Jacksonville, the St. John's, like it was, I don't know, it was really gross. We had to jump off a dock, and you know when you like jump into the water and it's like smushes, like because it's like, yeah, that was the type of water it was. Then I stuck more to the beach ones. I like swimming in the ocean. I know Coach Hannah had her first experience and it wasn't the greatest, but I prefer the ocean swims. Those are the great ones because you can swim like with the current. But I mean, I guess getting past the wave break line, that's a little bit difficult. I did have one race where the waves were just tremendous. And I mean, I had like grown men next to me who were also getting pushed back from these waves, and we just had to keep trying to get out to like the first buoy, and that was brutal. So it has its pros and cons, I guess.
Of course. Ava, since you've been in this game for 12 years, you probably have many different firsts. But tell us a story about your beginning days in triathlon.
My first triathlon, I remember the race age initially confused me, how it's your age at the end of the year, and I couldn't understand why I had to write 9 on my calf and I was only 8 at the time. So that was confusing. For my first time taking gels, the energy shot blocks before a race, my dad, he was like, here, take these, and everything was new at the beginning. I remember the swim. I was good at swimming, so I was like, all right, I got this. This is easy. Then I got to the bike. Of course, there's only so many gears on a Barbie pink Walmart bike. So I remember just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And I was so frustrated. I was like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. And all the other people in the triathlon, they had actual bikes because they were on the team that was putting it on. And then for the run, it was at my local high school that I went to, and it was pretty flat. So, went in there, dusted that, went around the field. Overall, it wasn't too bad. I remember I finished it with my friend and I liked it. And I was like, oh, like I finished the race and I felt good. And of course, the medal. And I was like, okay, like I'm kind of good at this.
Yeah, you are. And then you went on to be a part of, I think, Endorphin Fitness.
Yes.
So you participated with them, and they have a youth like nationals team. And so tell us about your youth nationals experience and being able to go to youth nationals.
So my first youth nationals, I honestly fell out of my element maybe a little bit because a lot of the races I did were local, just around Virginia. And then of course when you get there, it's a bunch of other teams from all across the country, West Coast, Midwest, the South. And they were doing it a lot longer than I have. Like they were in the game longer than I was. And open water, most of our races that we did, that I did when I was younger, were in pools. So then we're in the open water, and oh God, I kept thinking the animals were gonna come get me, but they dyed the water blue, so it wasn't too bad. And then we had to climb up this ramp, so that was something. And then the run to transition was really long because, of course, the transitions at local races, they're like 10 feet away from the pool. So I remember that was something, the bike, 2 laps, and it's not draft legal, of course, I wouldn't be at a young age, but I remember it was that, and I did it with my sister because she was also in triathlons at the time, but she quit now. So, it was nice having someone else there with me, but I definitely felt a little bit overwhelmed. But of course, as the years went on, I got to like it more and more and then crossed into the draft legal, which made it a little bit better. But yeah, I remember feeling very overwhelmed at first. There's a lot going on.
And who wouldn't think that, because that making that huge transition. Now, what are your goals? Where do you want to see yourself in triathlon? Like, is college it, or do you want to see yourself move on from college to maybe going into elite professional? Do you have any desires or dreams?
I'm not quite sure what I want to do with triathlon after college. I think I would definitely still compete on my own and maybe still train swimming, biking, and running, but I think I would like to take time to focus on my career. I do think I want to go into my master's year and get my CPA possibly and move to a Big Four accounting firm and work for them. So I'm not exactly sure how triathlon fits into that just yet, but I'm still figuring out my future. So I haven't really gotten that far in the plans yet.
Okay. What about you, Ashley?
For me, I think similar to Ava, being a student athlete in college is a lot. And I'm also a nursing student. So this year, I've started the nursing program officially. I was pre-nursing before, and now I'm in the actual nursing program. So balancing nursing with triathlon has been a new thing to like for me to like work towards and figure out. And so I think once I graduate, I'm gonna obviously start working as a nurse, and that's gonna be a huge change in my life. And so I think I will still train. I don't think I could see myself not going for a run or biking or swimming or whatnot, but I don't think I would do it as competitively as right now. But I would still sign up for local triathlons and still race. But I think it would be like a adjustment period is what I would need after college triathlon and figuring out my life and where I want to settle down and all that. So, but I don't think triathlon will ever go away. I think it's definitely something that I'll stick with, just not as competitively.
That's interesting to hear the difference between collegiate athletes and people who didn't have that same experience. And you're right. This is like a job for you. So you don't get the luxuries of doing everything that normal college students can do. And so you're like, that's too much to think about. Can I just take a break? So I get it. And yes, you can take a break. What advice would you give to listeners? And this is for all three of you, for those who might be wanting to get in triathlon, scared to get in triathlon, what can you do to encourage them to take the risk and try?
Well, for me, I like didn't really know what it was going to be like. Obviously, I did it as a kid a couple times, but that was more just for fun, and my dad just wanted to sign us up for something and see if we'd enjoy it. But I think for anyone like who's new to triathlon, I think just signing up for your first race and having something to work towards, and then just taking your first race as like a learning thing. Like, don't have any high expectations, any time goals that you want to crush. Like, just go out there and like have fun. Like, obviously follow the rules. Don't do anything you're not supposed to, but just have fun. And then after that, then you can like you have like a baseline now. So you can say, oh, I did this in the swim. Like, I want to start doing this so that next race I can beat this time. But I think just making the first race fun and not putting any pressure on yourself is like, I think that's like really good for first timers. Because I think pressure can really add to a lot. So just taking the first race as like a fun learning experience.
I agree with Ashley. I think it's important to keep the sport fun. I think it's a huge accomplishment to do three sports back to back. So it's like a little reward every single time that you compete a triathlon. But I think it's important to keep the love for it because training for three sports, and once you add the time goals onto it, it can seem a little bit draining. So I think definitely just to keep your love for it and have fun doing it and don't see it as like, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta hit this time.
Yeah, I think if you're considering signing up for your first triathlon, you just got to do it. You have to have a pushy friend who's like, we're doing this race on this day. And then you register. And no matter how afraid you are to go do it, when you cross the finish line of your first triathlon, like that's just unforgettable. Like, I mean, that's 10 years in the past for me, 12 years in the past for Ava. I remember being so scared for that open water swim. And truly not knowing if I was going to make it or not. And then by the finish line, I was like, I am such an amazing athlete. This is incredible. Like, I am the best. It's just that like accomplishment. And as adults, especially adults who are new to try, how many opportunities do you get to go do something new like that and challenge yourself like that? Triathlon just has that. I mean, it's just there for the taking. Like, you're gonna feel so awesome at the end of your first try.
Yeah, you will. So y'all go out there and try and encourage your friends and do it with them. And hey, let's do the Dover Duathlon. Prices go up April
Yes.
4th. April 4th. I just saw that. So prices go up April 4th. So if we're gonna do this, let's like have a little party. Let's meet there and do it. We got what is it? Probably 6 weeks before the race.
That's perfect.
That's
Start
perfect
training
timing.
tomorrow. Yeah.
1.5 mile run to start, 13.5 mile bike, and then 1.5 mile run.
That's right.
I'm just saying, y'all, we can make this a thing. It could be like a little TBL podcast meetup. What y'all
I
say?
love it. Yeah, come race
Come
Ava.
and
Someone
balls to the wallet.
balls to the wallet. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. We have one more part of this podcast where we get to ask you just some real quick, fun questions. Maybe they're not fun to y'all, but I think they're fun. And let's just have some fun with it. But I appreciate you guys sharing a little bit about your journeys, talking about DSU, what it's like to be at an NCAA school where you are a varsity team, but not a championship team. The championship component has not come yet, but it's on its way. And we just thank you for sharing into that and just encouraging this audience. So,
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
yeah, with that said,
Done.
balls to the wall is this thing, right? So I hear music in my head when I hear that. So let's go with some music. Who is your favorite artist?
I know Ava's. Can I answer for Ava? Is it Lil
Yeah.
Baby?
Little
Yes.
baby.
Ava's the only one on the team who can understand what he's saying. It's a special gift of Ava's.
I with Coach Hannah, I'll play a little baby song and I'll be like, tell me what they're saying. And she has to really
I got
intently
about
listen. She's like, I got this word. It's like a fun game.
Oh, that's funny because I know there's like little baby, da baby, come on,
Oh,
baby. I don't know. It's just too many
yeah.
babies out there in the world, so I don't listen to any of them. But now you're going to make me go put my
Go listen to a little baby, yeah.
little baby song. Okay. What about you, Ashley?
I also like Little Baby, but I also like Noah Kahan. He is a new like folky artist, so not many people know about him, but yeah, but usually for pre-race, I have a little pre-race playlist that I always play, and it's got a mixture of all different types of songs and genres and artists, so.
Okay. And you, Coach Hannah?
Oh man, I don't think I can pick. Like I don't have a true favorite. There's no one that I'm like dying to see. I think Ava's the best DJ on the team though. Like when Ava's
Oh, it's on
on,
us.
it works for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Coach Hannah's pre-race song is Red Nose by Sage the Gemini. And when she told me that, I would have never thought that'd be her pre-race song. I was like, wait, what?
Sage the Gemini.
My bike is named Sage for Sage the Gemini, so maybe that should be my answer, Sage the Gemini.
So Sage the Gemini and Lil Baby.
Yes.
Okay, I'm scared to ask songs, so I'm going to skip the songs question.
Good call.
Yeah.
A good choice.
favorite race destination?
Is that like asking like races we've done in the past or where we'd want to do one?
Let's make it two questions that you've done in the past, and then where you would want to do one.
I think
I
I'd
would.
do a race in Hawaii. That would be so fun. Like the clear water, warm air, that would be fun.
Okay. And your favorite race to date, where you have raced before?
My favorite race, I don't know. I'm stuck between, I have three that I really like. I
Let's
can't
pick.
decide.
Okay.
I don't know. I would probably say Claremont just because it's close to home. So a lot of friends and family get to come see me race. And I like the super sprint and being able to race both days. So I think that's my favorite race course out of all of
Okay.
them.
Ava?
My favorite race destination I've did is Richmond, Virginia, East Coast Triathlon. I've always had my best races there. And I'm not sure where I would want my dream destination to be. I don't want to swim in the ocean. There's too much marine life for me. So maybe a lake that's not completely disgusting, I would pick.
I think my favorite race that I have done was in Santa Rosa, California. They used to have a 70.3 there for a while when I lived out on the West Coast. They don't have it anymore. So I think my current favorite race venue is probably Cambridge, Maryland. It's flat and fast and hot, and I like flat and fast and hot.
Follow-up question to that, in
Yes.
which month, June or September?
June.
Okay, just wanted to make sure because September brings different
That's
challenges.
right. September brings the sea nettles. I don't want
The
those.
sea nettles, I'm like,
I don't need those at my race.
exactly. Hence Ava's point, the marine life, we don't need them.
I
We don't need
don't
them
know. They are
problems.
not invited.
Ooh, keep them at home. They can be tardy for the party every day. Okay. Taper week, love it or hate it?
Love it.
Love it.
I love it.
favorite motivational quote or mantra?
Oh, okay. You can either quit or keep going. They both hurt.
That's good.
I would pick the one, especially in distance racing. You quit or you keep going, but they're both gonna really hurt.
I don't know if I really have one, but I know in high school we'd always say like the faster that you run, the faster you're done. So sometimes I think that
I like it.
I'm on the run. I'm like, if the faster you run, the faster you're gonna be past that finish line. You can get some ice cold water.
The little things.
I think mine would be hope is not a strategy. Like, don't hope to do good. You have to work for it.
Okay, Ava. Yeah.
Yes. Little baby coming through. Come on.
Hey.
Okay. Favorite part of triathlon in this, rank them in this order: swim, bike, or run. Rank them in order of preference.
Mine for sure is bike, run, swim. Bike being my favorite, swim being my least favorite.
Run, bike, swim.
Think mine's definitely bike. I can't pick which one is last. It depends on the day, I think. Oh. Yeah.
That's good. All of you like to bike, and I thought Amy, you would pick swimming.
It depends. There's some races where I'm like, oh, I need to get out the water right now. Because when there's 90 girls on the line, they start pushing and shoving and pushing your head down. I'm like, I need to get out now. I don't want to do it anymore. So
I
I think
love
definitely
it.
depends on the race.
Best or your favorite post-race meal?
I
Oh,
just
ice cream.
potato chips. Oh, ice cream.
Yeah.
Coach Hannah, what did you say?
Potato chips, like Lay's classic, nothing, just potato chips. I want chips.
Okay. And Ashley?
I don't know. I don't have like a set thing I get post-race. All I know is that I want something like junk food, like fries or
Anything
ice
fat.
cream or Mexican food, like some queso and guac. Like, yeah, just something that I like, really unhealthy for you. That's what I want to eat.
Okay, and Ava likes the ice cream. So typically, I know that for you all, you might not have gotten to this level yet, but for Coach Hannah, do you pee on the bike or get off and take a proper pee break?
Oh man, so when I first got into triathlon, my first 70.3, I swore I would never do that. I think my exact quote was, even if I was winning Kona, I would not do that to my bike. But now I do pee on the bike. It's a huge
Really,
time saver.
Jenny? You pee on
But
the
every
Oh,
second
though.
counts, and I'm like right there on my goal. I'm not stopping. I just pee.
Wait, really?
For real, yeah.
Wow.
70.3.
Okay.
If you're peeing on your bike in an Olympic,
You
got a problem. But in 70.3, I'm not stopping for that.
clean your bike after, though, right?
I clean my bike after every ride, Ava.
Oh, okay.
You literally clean your bike after every ride?
I literally do.
Her
It's
bike
the
is her
most,
baby.
yeah, it is my baby. I don't have kids, just a bike and a dog.
So I respect that. I cleaned my bike the other day and had the guys gawking at it. They were like, "Ooh, look at that. Look at that drive tray." The little things make men go like goo-goo-eyed, and a clean drive train will do it. But anyway, I digress. So Ashley and Ava, do you all ever get to wear wetsuits?
I
Yes.
think from one race we have.
One
It's not
race.
very common though, because our NCAA women's cutoff temperature is different than age group. So we're 68 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's kind
Oh.
of uncommon to get water to be that cold in the races we
Okay.
race.
Okay. Well, then have you peed in your wetsuit or not?
Absolutely. In the
Yes.
warm up, while I'm swimming,
Yeah, in
yes.
the warm up, I have to pee like right before the race. Those nerves really get me. So actually, we had the one race at water. Was it Waterman's that we had to wear wetsuits?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely peeing in my wetsuit then.
What they're
That
for, yeah.
makes it warm.
Yeah, we had to like tread water and hold on to this rope. I was definitely peeing while we were waiting for the start to go off.
Well, there you have it. Thank you guys again so much. We have the saying here at Tribe Kenners, look, whenever you try, you always win. And for those of you who still have questions about the sport and you want to get into it, but don't really know what, and you got some questions, we have a solution for you. It is on YouTube only, and it's called Ask a Coach. We have resident coaches who will answer any question that you have. So be sure to look in the description or the show notes, and you can click the link and submit your question. And again, be sure to like, follow, and send this to your friends. We want to grow this, and we're hearing some really good reviews about people who love the stories that they're hearing. So don't be selfish. Share this with others. And for that, we're out. Thank you so much. I'm Ashonda, and we're out. Peace. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode. We need your help so we can continue to try at TBL. So for more information on where you can find and subscribe to this podcast, visit www.trybeginnersluck.com. And don't forget, whenever you try beginner's luck, you always win.